भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण टेंथ वर्स ऑफ 15th चैप्टर पत्न्यस्तवाधिमख क्लिप्त महाभिषेक श्लाघिष्ट चारुकवरं कवितः सभायां कितवैस्वभायां स्पृष्टं विकीर्य पदयोः प्रतिताश्रुमुख्यां यस्तत्स्त्रियोक्तहर्षहतेश विमुक्तकेशाः Read the translation.
It was he only who loosened the hair of all the wives of the miscreants, who dared open the cluster of your queen's hair, which had been nicely dressed and sanctified for the great Rajkriya sacrificial ceremony. At that time, she fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes.
So, in that Asat Sabha, that assembly where Draupadi was dragged and Dushasan tried to disrobe her, Krishna noted, "Oh, my devotee has been treated like this. And whoever has caused this and whoever has witnessed this, many of them." So Krishna caused the wives of those people, those miscreants, suffer the way Queen Draupadi suffered. So, whoever caused the insult of Draupadi were punished by Krishna alone. Okay, Arjuna is remembering. Yo noju gopavana etya duranta krichrad. दुर्वास सोरि रचितात् अयुताग्र भोग्यः शाकान् शिष्टमुपयुज्य यत स्त्रीलोकीम् तृप्ताम् अमं शतसलिले विनिमग्नसङ्गः Here in previous purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna can tolerate insults upon himself, but he can never tolerate insults upon his devotees. So by insulting a great soul, one will lose everything. Ayushriyam yasho dharmam lokan asisha evacha hantishriyam se sarvani punso mahadatikramaha. This verse comes in the context of Kamsa tormenting all the sages and brahmanas in 10th canto, 4th chapter. Ayuhu, one's lifespan. Shriya, one's beauty. Yesha, fame. Dharma, whatever religious principles he has acquired. Ayuhu, shriyam, yesho, dharmam, lokan, asisha, evacha. Lokan means all the good destinations that he is supposed to go in. Lokan, asisha, evacha. Asisha means all blessings that he has acquired. Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani, all these great blessings upon him will completely be vanquished. Pumso Mahadatikramaha, if one offends a great soul. That's what has happened to all the Kauravas, Duryodhana and party, for insulting Pandavas and especially Draupadi. 10.4 point somewhere it comes. 10.4. 10.4 point somewhere in the last. I don't remember the number. 46. 10.4.46. Aishriyam Ishwadharma. Read the 11th translation. We read the verse.
During our desire, there was someone who eats with his 10,000 disciples, intrigued with our enemies to put us in dangerous trouble. At that time, he, Lord Krishna, simply by accepting the remnants of food, saved us. By his accepting food, thus, the assembly of monies, while bathing in the river, fed sumptuously there. And all the three worlds were also satisfied.
You know the story, Durvasamani came to test the Pandavas after that Akshaya Patra was emptied. Then Krishna came, tasted just one grain of rice, and all these people were like bilching, we can't move only. What to speak of taking another feast? It's like after today's Ramanami feast, you don't feel like eating anything more like that. 12. I'm not elaborating on the past tense because you're aware. Yattejasath Bhagavan Yudhishu Lapanir
Yattejasath Bhagavan Yudhishu Lapanir
Vismapitaha Sagirijo Sritam Stram Adan Nijamme
Vismapitaha Sagirijo Sritam Adan
Nijamme Anye Pichaha Mamunaiva Kalevarena
Anye Pichaha Mamunaiva Kalevarena
Prapto Mahindra Bhavane Mahadasanadham.
Prapto Mahindra Bhavane Mahadasanadham.
Read the story.
It was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me. And in addition, I was able to reach 70 planets in this present body and was allowed a half adiated seat.
So he remembered few more incidents. He was allowed to sit in Indra's throne. And he got Pashupata Astra from Shiva. And he got some other favors from other demigods also. Tatraiva me viharatho bhujadanda yugvam Gandiva Lakshana Marati Vidhaya Deva Sandra Shrita Yadanubha Vidama Jabidham Tenahamajamushita Hapurushena Bhumnam
When I stayed for some days as a guest in the heavenly planets, all the heavenly demigods, including King Indradev, put shelter of my arms, which were marked with the bandage bow, who killed a demon named Nivatkoja. O King, descendant of Ajamil, at the present moment I am bereft of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose influence I was so powerful.
So, he remembered few more incidents. He was able to kill the demon Nivatkoja. The heavenly demigods are certainly more intelligent, powerful and beautiful. Yet, they had to take help from Arjuna because of his Gandiva bow, which was empowered by Krishna's grace.
Yadbandhava
kurubalabdhimanantaparam
Yadbandhava kurubalabdhimanantaparam
Ekorathena tatareham atirya sattvam
Ekorathena tatareham atirya sattvam
Pratyahritam bahudhanam chamaya paresham
Pratyahritam bahudhanam chamaya paresham
Tejaspadam manimayam chahritam shirobhya
Tejaspadam manimayam chahritam shirobhya
Next. Yad Bhishma Karna Guru Shalya Chamushu Bhadram Rajanya Varya Ratha Mandala Manditasu
Rajanya Varya Ratha Mandala Manditasu
Agrecha Roma Mavibho Ratha Yuthapanam
Agrecha Roma Mavibho Ratha Yuthapanam
Ayurmanasmicha Dadrusha Saha Oja Archat
It was he only who withdrew the relation of life from everyone, and who in the Vatican withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military talents made by the Kauravas, led by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Shalya, etc. Their arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this.
So although it is Bhima or Arjuna who killed all these great warriors, it's all because of Krishna's mercy. Arjuna is basically attributing the credit for all his accomplishments and all the accomplishments of Pandavas to Krishna. It is only because of Krishna that we could do it. That's the whole theme of all these 10-11 verses. Details of the pastimes you can see in the purports and then see Mahabharata for more details. But the essence of this whole thing is all credit goes to Krishna. Next, 16th verse.
Yadoshuma pranihitam guru bhishma karna.
Naptritrigartha
sailya saindhava bahalikadyaihe. Astranyamoghamahimani nirupitani.
Astranyamoghamahimani nirupitani.
Nopaspruśrnruharidasami vasurani.
Nopaspruśrnruharidasami vasurani.
Yad doshu. Doh means protection by the arms. Ma pranihitam guru bhishma karana. Who is throwing arrows at Arjuna? Guru. His Drona, his Guru Drona, Bhishma, such a great warrior, Karana, he is also a great warrior, Guru Bhishma Karana, and some more names are Naptru, Trigartha, Shalya, Saindhava, Bahilika, Adyaihi. There are so many such great warriors. These people are known to be very great warriors. Right? Astrani Amogha Mahimani Nirupitani. Nirupitani means it's proved, hence proved. That their astras have great mahima. Astrani amogha mahimani nirupitani. It is very well known that the weapons of all these great warriors are invincible. The opponent cannot stand in front of them. They are popularly known. They are not like any soldiers of some small country. They are world famous warriors. Right, all your He-Man, Superman, whatever, Batman, whoever, maybe the modern characters. All these people are nothing in front of Guru, Bhishma, Karna, Drona. Guru Drona is the guru. He is the teacher of Arjuna also. And he is fighting with his teacher and winning over his teacher. How could this be possible? Only because of Krishna's grace. No material strength can stand in front of Bhishma or Drona, but because of Krishna's great blessings, he was able to win over all these people. Na upasprushir, they did not even touch. The weapons of all these great warriors did not even touch Arjuna. How? Nruharidasam ivasurani. Nruharidasam. Who is Nruhari?
Narasimhadev.
Nruharidasam means?
Prahalad.
The servant of Narasimhadev, Iva Asurani, all the weapons of Asuras, the demons of Hiranyakashipu, they did not touch Prahlad Maharaj at all because he is Drihari Dasa and he is Krishna Dasa. Arjuna is Krishna Dasa. So when you are a Dasa of Krishna, no enemy can touch you. Simple. Because the servants of Krishna are always protected by Krishna's weapon, Kaumodaki. Kaumodaki bhagavato daitam smarita digdham arati bhatashonita kardamena malam madhuvrata varudha girvapagushtam chaityasya tattvamalam manimasya kanthe. Kapil Dev says that Kaumodaki, Lord's gada called Kaumodaki, is constantly tainted with the blood of asuras in its attempt to protect the devotees from those asuras. So even Yamaraj says, you cannot go to devotees because they are always protected by Lord's Kaumodaki Gada. Jihvana Vakta, not before, not that. Te Deva Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha Ye Sadhavo Samadrisha Bhagavat Prapanna Tan Nopa Siddhata Harer Gadaya Bhiguptam Naisham Vayam Nachavaya Prabhavama Dandi. Yamaraj is giving a warning to Yamadutas. Te Deva Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha. All these great devotees of the Lord, they are so glorious that even great demigods and siddhas also glorify their deeds. Deva, Siddha, Parigita, Pavitra Gatha. Their narrations are very pavitra, very pure. The pure narrations of devotees are sung by Gandharvas, sung by the Siddhas, Devas, Munis also. Te Deva, Siddha, Parigita, Pavitra Gatha. Ye Sadhavo, Samadrisho, Bhagavat Prapanna. They are sadhus, Samadrisha. They are endowed with the quality of equanimity. Bhagavat Prapanna, they are completely surrendered unto Krishna. Tannopasidata, never try to approach them. Why? Harer Gadaya Bhiguptan, they are constantly protected by Lord's Gada. Lord Hari's Gada. Kaumodaki. Naisham Vayam Nacha Vayaha Prabhavamadande. I cannot exert my influence on them. Yamaraj says. Yamaraj has no influence on devotees. Time factor has no influence on devotees. Even Brahmaji has no influence on devotees. Like that. So, all the weapons of these great warriors did not even touch our Arjuna. 17th verse. Sautyavrata kumatina madha ishvarome. Yat pada padma bhavaya bhajanti bhavyah mam shranta vaham arayo rathino bhuvistham na praharan yadanu bhavani rasta chitta Even when there was an opportunity for all the enemies of Arjuna, they could not manage to kill him, or they neglected to kill him. But it's all because of Krishna's mercy. And that Krishna is engaged as a chariot driver by Arjuna. See how the Lord is so merciful that he becomes malleable to the needs and moods of his devotees. Okay, 17th verse. 17th is done, right? Next. 18th verse onwards. Till 17th verse he was remembering some incidents. Certain incidents where he received the protection of Krishna. Now 18th verse, he is remembering some very fine, very intimate moments that he had spent with Krishna. 18th verse. Narmanyudara ruchiras mita shobhitani. He partha herjuna sakhe kuru nandaneti. Sanjalpitani naradeva hridis prishani. Smartur luthanti hridayam mama madhavasya. Narmani udara ruchiras mita shobhitani. Narmani means very jovial conversation, right? Very light hearted conversation. Narmani udara means very frank talks. Ruchiras mita shobhitani. His face, beautiful face, is shining with very sweet smile. Narmani udara ruchiras mita shobhitani. Next, he partha, he Arjuna sakhe kuru nandaneti. So he addresses, Krishna addresses Arjuna also. Oh partha, oh friend, like that. Oh sakha, he says like that. So they are very loving addresses.
calling him. Sanjalpitane naradeva hridisprishanti. Sanjalpitane. There is prajalpa, you know. Right. That is like useless talk. And prajalpa has a good positive connotation also. It's a part of, it's one of the 10 types of ecstatic speech. Right. Our colloquial, conventional, what sadhakas do is like, this prajalpa is different from the prajalpa done by great gopis in their ecstatic love for Krishna. That's a different thing. So, sanjalpitani, sanjalpa, this is sanjalpa. That is some conversation. It, jalpa basically is conversation. But there are different jalpas. Sanjalpa, prajalpa, pratijalpa, vijalpa, ujjalpa, like that. There are so many jalpas. All these are very high grade. It's very difficult. They come in Bhramara Gita. There are 10 verses that describe 10 kinds of jalpas, which are spoken by directly Srimati Radharani in Bhramara Gita, in 10th canto, 47th chapter. No, as of now, just sanjalpa means some conversation. That much you understand. Whichever jalpa, it is jalpa only for us. Jalpa is conversation. That much you understand. So, sanjalpitani. Naradeva hridishprushanti. Oh, Naradeva. Oh, best of all human beings. Whom is he addressing? Yudhishthira Maharaj. A king is called Naradeva. He's like demigod amongst the human beings. So, oh king, sanjalpitani, all the beautiful addresses and conversations that Krishna did with me, hridisprashanti, they touch my heart. Right? They are engraved so deeply within my heart. Smartur luthanti hridayam mama madhavasya. Just by remembering all the sweet talks, conversations that I had with Krishna, my heart and soul are getting enlivened. I'm getting overwhelmed. Luthanti. Luthanti hridayam mama madhavasya. My heart is getting overwhelmed by remembering all the conversations with Madhava. So Arjuna is going into an ecstatic remembrance. Shayyasanatana vikathana bhojanadishu. Aikyadvayasya ritavan iti vipralabdhaha. Sakheva pritrivat tanayasya sarvam. Sehe mahan mahitaya kumatir aghamme.
Sehe mahan mahitaya kumatir aghamme.
Generally, most of us usually together and sleep, sit and loiter together. And it is the time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry. Sometimes, if there were any irregularity, I used to reproach him by saying, "My friend, you are very truthful. Even in those hours, when his value was minimized, he, being the supreme soul, used to tolerate all those utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or a father excuses his son."
So, this 19th verse is a continuation of 18th verse. So, my friend, you are very truthful. It's a sarcastic verse. Are, sahi bola. Samajh gaya. That means, sahi nahi bola. So, it's a little sarcastic address. In a friendly, light-hearted talk, these are common. So, he's remembering all that. The Lord relishes the reproaches of friends, parents or fiancés more than the Vedic hymns. So, the Sakhyarasa is also of two types. There is Vipralambha Sakhyarasa, there is Aishwarya Sakhyarasa. Or you can say, Samrambha Vishrambha. This is correct. There is Samrambha Sakhyarasa, there is Vishrambha Sakhyarasa. So, friendship in Vrindavan is very intimate. That is Vipralambha, or it's a very sweet and intimate where the conception of Godhood is not there. Right? You don't even consider Krishna to be God, and you have a friendly relationship with Krishna. That kind of friendship exists in Vrindavan. But in Dwaraka, friendship exists. Krishna and Arjuna are friends. But sometimes Arjuna goes into the mood of disciple. servant, devotee. So he worships Krishna in the mode of a servant, a devotee, and he thinks Krishna is God sometimes, and sometimes he also just chastises Krishna or jokes with Krishna or treats him as an equal. Right? That combination is there in Dwaraka. Both are there. But in Vrindavan, pure Sakya is there. Right? 20th verse. Soham Nripendra Rahitaha Purushottamena.
Soham Nripendra Rahitaha Purushottamena.
Sakhya priyena suhrida hridayena shunya.
Sakhya priyena suhrida hridayena shunya.
Adhanyurukrama parigraham angarakshan.
Adhanyurukrama parigraham angarakshan.
Gopaira sadbhirabaleva vinirjitosmi.
Gopaira sadbhirabaleva vinirjitosmi.
And dear most well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart attacks the world of everything. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel proud men while I was guarding the bodies of all the lives of Krishna.
He was defeated by some cowherds. So some of the gopis who prayed to become the wives of the Lord returned to their respective positions. So there is a very special incident here. In the Puranas, it is said that, we'll read that passage. This is not a very popularly known pastime. So in Puranas, it is said that once the fair denizens of heaven pleased Ashtavakra Muni by their service and were blessed by the Muni to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their husband. Some of the heavenly denizens. Ashtavakra Muni means he is curved at 8 places. So, he moves in a very peculiar manner, and seeing him, some of the daughters of the demigods laughed, seeing his movements. So, he became angry and he cursed that they would be kidnapped by rogues even if they would get the Lord as their husband. On one hand, they served Ashtavakra Muni and they pleased him and got the blessings. And on the other hand, they also laughed at him and got the curse also, both. So later on, the girls again satisfied the Muni by their prayers, and then the Muni blessed that, okay, even if you are kidnapped by ropes, you will again regain your husband. Right? So in order to keep the words of the great Muni, the Lord himself manifested as rogues and kidnapped his own wives like that. Otherwise, he would have at once vanished from the scene as soon as they were touched by the rogues. So, like that. So these cowherds who defeated Arjuna were actually Krishna's. Right? It's just a pastime. Just to fulfill or to keep the words of certain devotees, the Lord will act in certain ways. Although he is not obliged to act. So there is something called autonomy. You know autonomy? What is autonomy?
Independence.
You have some independence to operate on your own, function on your own. At least you have some autonomy and free will to do certain things. Some independence is given to you. And nobody intrudes into that independence. So every single living entity has that minute independence or autonomy or free will to act in a certain way, at least within certain limits. But if at every point you intrude into that autonomy, someone intrudes into that autonomy, it's like really suffocating for a living entity. For example, you may be under the care of certain in-charge. Right? Or an employee is working under a boss. Or a son is being brought up by a father. Or a disciple is being taught by a guru, right? Guru, a disciple or a son or an employee or a servant, all of them should be given certain amount of independence and autonomy by their masters, by their superiors. A subordinate's need is to have some autonomy. Now, if the master keeps on intruding, the child is trying to
walk in this area, aisa nahi chalna chahiye, aisa chalna chahiye. Father will keep on correcting him, every small way. If the subordinate is being micromanaged by the superior, the subordinate loses his independent creativity and he cannot grow. So, demigods are given the charge of universal administration. Right? By whom? By the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if the Supreme Lord always intrudes into their autonomy and keeps on correcting them, then it's like too suffocating for the demigods. You give knowledge, you give facility, you give certain independence, and then let them operate on their own. Even if they have to commit certain mistakes, let them commit mistakes and then grow. Right? For example, this is a very important principle. A superior may see a junior or a subordinate do some mistake also, and he will not correct. And he is just keeping quiet. What kind of superior is he? You may think like that. But sometimes, in some cases, not correcting is more correct than correcting him. Make sense? It may not make so much sense immediately. But if you think, for example, a child is trying to walk, small child, he is learning to walk. He is just barely trying to stand on his legs, and then he manages to stand and then he falls down. If the mother does not come to pick him up, is she correct or wrong? It's correct. If she picks up, that is also correct. If she doesn't pick up, that is also correct. Probably that is more correct also. If mother keeps on giving her finger to the child to walk, always, then he will never learn to walk only. Initially, when he is crawling only, she may give her fingers, both fingers, okay, hold his fingers and try to walk, walk, walk. And then he just try to do like this. And then mother should allow the child to fall down for a while. And then learn to get up on his own. Right? Spoon feeding is not recommended all the while. So one needs to understand things with more maturity. So Krishna has given certain independence to these brahmanas, these sages. No, Narasingha Chaturdasi has come. Ramanomi, today we celebrated. Brahma was given certain independence by the Lord. With that independence, he gave certain boons to Ravana. And one of those boons is, he cannot be killed by anyone. Right? Except Naras and Vanaras. And Ravana did not bother to mention the names of Nara and Vanara because he thought they are too insignificant to kill me. What will they do to me? Okay, and he told all the names. Brahma said, okay, fine, no problem. So the Supreme Lord came in the form of a human being and he killed Ravana with the help of some monkeys. Ram is not obliged to kill Ravana in that way. He can come in the form of a demigod and kill Ravana because he is not obliged by the benedictions of Hiranyakashipu, benediction of Brahmaji. Same thing with Hiranyakashipu also. Why the Supreme Lord has to come in the form of Narasimhadev, half man, half land incarnation? So, sometimes it seems that some materialistic people may say that Krishna is also obliged by law of karma. If Gandhari curses his dynasty has to be ruined. If Ashtavakramani curses his wives in a certain way, Krishna is obliged to take that curse. Krishna is bound by the effects of that curse. Of course, he is also like you and me only. Like that people will say. Because Krishna did so much injustice in Kurukshetra war, so his whole Yadu dynasty was vanquished by Gandhari's curse. People so conveniently bring Krishna to their own level, but they don't understand the higher principle there. Krishna has given certain autonomy to the demigods, and it is his magnanimity that is aligning himself with the protocols set by those demigods or sages or Gandharvas or whatever they may be. And then he is trying to fulfill those protocols. Otherwise, nobody will respect the demigods only. Right? So, Brahmaji's rules or protocols or benedictions are conveniently surpassed by Krishna, no one will trust the benedictions of Krishna, Brahmaji only in future. Aray, Brahma kuch power hai nahi yaar. He gives benediction, that never works only. Nobody will do tapasya only. Nobody will respect only. Right? So, to keep his subordinates, Brahmaji and Ashtavakramani, their things also intact, Krishna behaves in certain ways. Right? I think we discussed a lot. Recently, I wrote an article on anatomy of autonomy. Anatomy of autonomy. So, I was including certain examples also like this. Where although he is not obliged, Krishna will just act according to the protocol set by his own devotees. Right? No, that is correct. That is perfectly correct. See, I'm just telling about the balance. Not micromanaging, not allowing him to grow by giving inputs every now and then into every small thing. So definitely. Lalane bahavo dosha tadane bahavo gunaha tasmat putram tu sishyam tu tadayet natu lalayet. You heard this verse? Chanakya Pandit's verse. Prabhupada often quotes. Lalane bahavo dosha. If you pamper a subordinate, his faults will increase. Tadane bahavo gunaha. If you chastise him, his good qualities will increase. So, tasmat putram cha sishyam cha tadayet natu lalayet. Therefore, if you are a father, chastise your son. If you are a guru, chastise your disciple. Then he will grow. He will develop good qualities. Otherwise, he will be ruined. But there is a limit to it. Same Chanakya Pandit says in the next verse, or after some verses, we will say, Lalayat Panchavarshani means you pat the child, pamper the child when he is up to his 5 years age. Even if they do some mistakes, also don't correct them like that. You just pat the child. Then after that, from 5 to 16, take a stick. Kuch bhi galti kiya maro. Right? It's like parenting only. If he does some mistake, be strict. Correct him. Don't allow him to do that mistake. Like that age is meant for receiving strictness from their superiors. And beyond 16, treat them like friends. Whatever he has to learn, he has learnt already. Now you accept him the way he is. Right? Now you don't expect so many things from him. Be friendly with him. Treat him like a friend, an equal. So, micromanaging or correcting a subordinate has a certain limit. Yes, initial days it is needed. When people are little grown up, they should be given more space. Operate. Operate on your own. Right. If you need me, come to me. I'm there for suggestions always. But you don't voluntarily go and give so many suggestions. Your suggestions will be seen as impositions. There's a difference between imposition and suggestion. Right? Whatever you say, अरे इतना तो ज्ञान प्राप्त कर लिया है अभी आपका परामर्श का कोई आवश्यकता नहीं है. He will think like that. He may not say, right? Your presence is not invited after he's grown up to a certain extent. Right? I can understand. I can do things on my own. That's there. That's generally the trend. But there are some very humble subordinates, however grown up they are always submissive to superiors. Please, you tell me what is good and what is bad. From a subordinate side, you need to invite feedbacks and suggestions and corrections. From a superior side, you need to be more mature in giving subordinates some space after certain stages, not initial stage. A, B, C, D. He is learning A, B, C, D. If A is writing like N. You should give him correction. At that stage, you know, give him space. Don't give him space at that stage. After he has learned ABCD, then sentences and then paragraphs, and then he's able to read. Coming to certain stage, then you stop corrections. You minimize your corrections. Right? Not in the initial stages. Okay, fine. I think we went into a little more discussion there. 21.
तद्वै धनुस्त इषवः सरथो हयास्ते सोऽहं रथी नृपतयो यत आनमन्ति सर्वं क्षणेन तदभूद सदीश रिक्तम् भस्मं हुतं कुहकराद्धमिवोपभूष्य तद्वै धनुस्त इषवः 20th verse Arjuna said, I have been defeated by some infidel cowherds. Now he is saying, Tadvai dharuhu, I have the same Gandiva bow. Ta ishavaha saratho hayasti. I have the same dhanu, Gandiva bow. Ishavaha means arrows. I have the same arrows. Next, saratha, same chariot. Hayasti, same horses. Soham, I am the same person, Arjuna. Rathi, I am the same Rathi, the chariot person. The person who is in the chariot. Nrupatayo yata anamanti. I am that same Arjuna unto whom so many great kings would come and offer their prostrated obeisances, surrendering themselves unto me. I have defeated so many kings like that. I am the same guy. Sarvam kshanena. In one moment everything is lost. Sarvam kshanena tadabhut asat isharittam. Asad, they all have become useless, insubstantial. Why? Isha Riktam. When Isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is not with me, although there are 100 other things with me, all of them are useless. My Gandiva bow, my arrows, my ratha, my horses, myself, all of us have become useless because Krishna is not there with us. What's the missing element? Krishna. Krishna is that one. You may have 100 zeros. But if that one is not there, these zeros have no value. We often hear this statement. That's what Arjuna is saying. Arjuna said this statement. Not anyone else. Right. And he gives analogies also. How they have become useless? Number one. Bhasmam hutam. Hutam. You just offer oblations of ghee in fire sacrifice. But if you offer the same oblations, pure cow ghee, patmeda ghee, organic ghee, 1 liter, 2000 rupees ghee, take it and put it in bhasma, put it in ash, can you call that sacrifice? Right. So that ghee has to be taken and put in fire sacrifice when the fire is there, during the sacrifice. But if you put it in ashes, that oblations in ashes are of no use. So, all of us have become useless like oblations in ashes without Krishna. Number two, Kuhakaradham. Kuhakaradham means money created by magic wand. The magician will go on the stage and then he will have that machine. He has a machine, then 2000 rupees note will come out, $100 note will come out. He will put white paper from this side and he will bring out 100 rupee note. Or 1000 rupee note, or 2000 rupee note from the other side. That currency has any use? If that currency has use, he will keep that machine in his room only, he will not bring it out, and he will produce so much money, and he need not make these magic shows at all. Is it not? Why he is making a magic show for getting a remuneration of 1000 rupees when he can create so many 1000 rupee notes? Use some logic. Aray, he is the wealthiest person. A foolish person will think that he is the wealthiest person because he can create money. No, he cannot create money. That's all. Some magic only. So, money created by a magician is useless. Similarly, all your skills without Krishna are useless. That's what Arjuna says. Third example he gives. So many examples. What is that? Ivokta Bhushyam, it's like barren land. You take the most quality seeds and plant them in barren land. Will the plant come out? Because the land is not fertile. You may put so much water, you may put so much of, you may put the best quality seeds, but plant will not come out because the land is barren. Similarly, you may have the best of the bows, best of the horses, best of the chariots, best of the arrows. You may be the best of the
warriors, but you cannot defeat even some infidel cowherds if Krishna is not there with you. Everything becomes useless. Asad Isha Riktam. Very important verse. Note it down. Memorize this. Remember this. And try to recollect this verse whenever a situation comes. So without Krishna, whatever we have becomes useless. Asat Isha Riktam. Recite again. Tadvai dhanushta ishavah saratho hayaste.
Tadvai dhanushta ishavah saratho
hayaste. Soham rathi nrupatayo yata anamanti.
Soham rathi nrupatayo yata anamanti.
Sarvam kshanena tadabhuda sadisha riktam.
Sarvam kshanena tadabhuda sadisha riktam.
Bhasman hutam kuhakara dhami vopamushyam. Krishna is the powerhouse and devotee is like that bulb. If Krishna does not supply electricity, a devotee cannot glow, devotee cannot give light. This bulb may be perfectly functional. This bulb and that bulb, both balls are hanging right in your ceiling. Both are of same quality, but that is not glowing and this is glowing. Why? Electricity supply is given to it and it is not given to them. Go and switch it on, then it will glow. Otherwise, it will not glow. Till you switch it on, whatever it may do, exercise it may do, it cannot give light. It's perfect. It has all faculties. But unless that switch is on, it cannot start. Right? So that switch is Krishna. Electricity supply is Krishna. So one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. Yesterday also we discussed this very elaborately, remember? In the 5th and 6th verses. So all energies and powers are derived from the Supreme Source Krishna and they act as long as he desires and cease to function as soon as he withdraws. All energies are derived from the Supreme Source Krishna. They act as long as Krishna desires and they cease to function as soon as he withdraws. This is an eternal fact. We can never claim credit for our activities, our great activities. It's all because of Krishna. Okay. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or within or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessing of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it's all right. But the parents say, stop, play, come on. The parents will take the child to a beach. On the beach, the child may make so many castles, so many buildings. Sometimes children will put their leg there. They put so much of soil, so much of sand over the leg and they remove the leg. It will form a cave. And they think that they have created a great thing. See, I have created a cave. And they may take some twigs and plants and plant around it. See, I have created a garden in front of my house or cave. They will decorate it so much. So 1 hour the parents are just roaming in the beach and then doing something, some meeting must be happening. Ah, time ho gaya, abhi 5 baj gaye. Bache log aaye, aajo. They will call the children. Nee, my house is here. Your house is not here, your house is there. Parents will drag the child even if the child is crying and the time is up. Similarly, Krishna will take us away. Krishna will take away all our powers. when it's not necessary for us to have those powers. We cannot be attached to those powers. Yeah, some entertainment is needed for the child. Some sense of creativity is needed for the child. Parents will allow that. As long as their meeting is going on. They may be meeting some guests or friends or some official meeting may be going on. Children are playing. For example, congregation will come for our Sunday feast program. Parents are sitting in the Sunday feast program. Lecture is going on. 2 hours. For these 2 hours, the children are allowed to play. They will meet other children. What all they do is, it could be rubbish only. What children will do? it may not be so constrictive. Of course, some Krishna conscious parents, they cultivate the children in such a way that children also will do something, some seva. I see some children fighting. I'm doing service. I'm doing service. They'll take the glass, they'll take the jug to put water, right? They distribute laddus to people. So something like that. But all that play and whatever it is gone when parents call the child back from their play. So like that. So human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. Okay. No Krishna, no life. Rajam stvayanu prishtanam.
Rajam stvayanu prishtanam.
Suhrudam naha suhrutpurem.
Suhrudam naha suhrutpurem.
Viprashapa vimodhanam.
Viprashapa vimodhanam.
Nighanantam mushtibhirmitaha.
Nighanantam mushtibhirmitaha.
Varunim madiram pitva.
Varunim madiram pitva.
Madonmathita chetasam.
Madonmathita chetasam.
Ajanatam ivanyonyam.
Chatuhupanchavaseshitaha.
So now he is giving the news of the departure of Yadus. Since you have asked me, our friends and relatives in the city of Dwaraka have been cursed by Brahmanas and as a result they have become intoxicated. Varuni madiram pitva. Pitva. They drank. This Varuni, Madhura, intoxicants. And Madhuammatita Chetasam, they have become so intoxicated. And they fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Whom am I beating? They don't even realize because of intoxication. Now only 4 or 5 people are left. Chatuhu pancha avaseshitaha. Char panch log baj gaya. Baki sab, they are not here anymore. Next. Prayenaitat
Bhagavatam.
Ishvarasya vicheshtitam.
Ishvarasya vicheshtitam.
Mithoni ghananti bhutani.
Mithoni ghananti bhutani.
Bhavayanti chayanmithaha.
Bhavayanti chayanmithaha.
So, prayenaitat Bhagavata. Ishvarasya vicheshtitam. So, the last 2 verses are very bewildering. How can the Yadu dynasty, the family of Krishna, become intoxicated like that? How they could not even recognize each other? How could they fight with each other and how could they kill each other? So it's little surprising. But he's reconciling. Although it's such a bewildering and astonishing and very surprising event, Ishvarasya vicheshtitam. Arjuna could easily reconcile it, thinking that it is the will of Krishna. It's the will of providence. Ishvarasya vicheshtitam. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord. Sometimes people kill one another and at other times they protect one another. Mitho nighananti bhutani. Bhavayanti cha yanmitaha. Right? Nighananti means killing. Bhavayanti means protecting. People do nighananti also, people will do bhavayanti also. They will protect also, they will kill also. But they are not the killers, they are not the protectors. Ultimately, everything is managed by Krishna. It is the supreme will. The person who is maintaining the prison house will give food to the prisoners. And some of those people who are maintaining the prison house only will hang the prisoners, will beat the prisoners, will give different kinds of shock treatments to the prisoners. Ultimately, they are not in control. Whatever is told to them by the jail superintendent or by the superior officers, they are just instruments in those hands. If they tell, okay, protect them, give these facilities, they will give facilities. They will put AC in your prison cell. They will put TV in your prison cell. They may give newspaper in your prison cell. And they will only give some lathi charge. They will only beat you also in the prison cell. But these people who are doing all these activities are not responsible. They have no free will. They are just acting as instruments in the hands of those people, their superiors. Same thing. Ultimate superior is Krishna. There are so many causes, intermediate causes. Unlimited intermediate causes could be there. But ultimate cause is Krishna. It is supreme will. So, bhavayanti, nighananti. Both can happen by supreme will of Krishna. You need to understand. We conveniently blame people. Iske vajah se itna gadbad hola. Only because of this person I am undergoing this difficulty. You may say that. Yes. Apparently he is the cause. He could be the immediate cause. But what is the cause behind this cause? What is the cause behind that cause? What is the cause behind that cause? Ultimate cause is Krishna. And when you reach, Krishna is the vajah for it. Then you cannot blame Krishna. Then everything will stop. Right? If you trace the ultimate reason for all your difficulties, you will find Krishna there. You will immediately witness, you will witness the immediate cause of your difficulty that anyone can do. But what is the cause of this cause? You go little, one layer behind. Oh, he is the cause. Then you go one layer behind. He is the cause. So like that, you will go layer behind layer and ultimately you will find Krishna there. Krishna is the cause. Whatever happiness or distress I am experiencing, Krishna is the cause. Once you understand that Krishna is the cause, you cannot blame anyone. Right? So devotees just avoid this research of tracing out who is the ultimate cause. Who is the cause behind my cause? Behind this cause, people will just, devotees will just avoid that research. They just take it for granted. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Janmadyasayataha, sarva karana karanam, namo namaste akhila karanaya, nishkaranaya, adbhuta karanaya. So Krishna is sarva karana karanam. They take this point. And if I receive happiness or distress in my life, it's caused by Krishna. It's Krishna's will. So, let me accept it. Let me invite this distress. Let me invite this happiness in my life. It's Krishna who is the cause. And iske vajah gadbad nahi, iske vajah se nahi. Krishna ke vajah se. Because I am supposed to deserve certain treatment. Krishna is doing this to me through this person. He is an instrument in the hands of Krishna. He is an instrument of the instrument of the instrument of the instrument in the hands of Krishna. There could be multiple instruments. Direct instruments and indirect instruments. Immediate instruments and remote instruments. Whatever it may be. Ultimately they are instruments of Krishna. We need to understand that. Krishna is treating me like this. A doctor who is doing surgery to a patient will call the nurse and then give this fellow that injection, anesthesia. So the injection will give, the nurse will give you the injection. The nurse is piercing me. The nurse is piercing me because the doctor ordered her. Simple. Right? Nurse is giving me this tablet every time I am sleeping here and then she will, hey, put up, Prabhuji. And then they will give some tablet. Hey, I am sleeping and why is she coming here? Doctor told, at 3 o'clock, this patient has to take this tablet. Like that. There are instruments in the doctor's hands. Like that. So, if we do research of who is the cause of whatever experiences I am going through in life, ultimate reason you will find Krishna. If you have some love for Krishna, if you have some little understanding that Krishna is God, you will not blame him. Materialistic people will blame also. A devotee, even a sadhaka also cannot blame Krishna. So he will not blame anyone. Like that. So, Ishvarasya Vicheshtitam, very important. According to anthropologists, there is nature's law of struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. Whenever, therefore, there is peace in the world, it must be known that it is due to the goodwill of the Lord. And whenever there is upheaval in the world, it is also due to the supreme will of the Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Whether it is happiness or distress, whether it is peace or chaos, Krishna is the cause. The surest way to the path of peace, therefore, is dovetailing everything to the established rule of the Lord. Discretion is the better part of valor. And one must learn how to discriminate between actions which may be pleasing to the Lord and those which may not be pleasing to the Lord. An action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. There is no room for personal whims. We must always be guided by the pleasure of the Lord. Mukhena lokarti harasmitena parisphurat kundala manditena shonayitena dharabimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena sundarva. This verse comes in the third canto somewhere. Third canto, the prayers of the demigods, third canto, fifth chapter. Someone knows? Okay. Mukhena loka arti harasmitena. Just by the beautiful smile adorning his beautiful face, Krishna can completely vanquish the distress of all his devotees. Parisphorat kundala manditena. His face is resplendent with beautiful kundals. Shonayitena adhara bimba bhasa. And he is acknowledging the hard labor done by his devotees by his smile. Just by his smile, Krishna acknowledges, oh, this is the great work done by my devotee. Let me acknowledge him. What is that? Smile. Smile, lekin kal itna kaam kiya tha. Give me something. Devotee never asks like that. Karmis will ask. But bhaktas will not ask. You smile, sufficient. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. An action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. Devotee wants Lord's pleasure. If the Lord is pleased, he will smile. Right? If he is smiling, that is sufficient for me. If you are not smiling, then I am morose. I will work for your pleasure. The remuneration for my hard work is not depositing 50,000 or 1 lakh at the end of the month in my bank account. The remuneration for my hard work is you smile, you be pleased, you be happy, sufficient. When you say that, you are a devotee. When you don't say that, if you say anything less than that, you could be a mixed devotee. When you say that, I want money for my hard work, then that makes one a karma. Like that. So devotee means working for the pleasure of Krishna. To see smile in the face of Krishna. See? An action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. There is no room for personal whims. We must be guided by the pleasure of the Lord. Shonayitena dharabimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhava. Next. Jalaukasam jale yadvan.
Jalaukasam jale yadvan.
Mahanto dantyani yashaham.
Mahanto dantyani yashaham.
Durbalan balino rajan.
Durbalan balino rajan.
Mahanto balino mithaham.
Mahanto balino
mithaham. Yevam balishthair yadubhir. महद्भिर इतरान वयः विभो यदोन्यतुभिर अन्योन्यम् भूभारान् संजहारः
Talking, as in the ocean, the bigger and stronger aquatics follow up the smaller and weaker ones, so also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to feel the weaker and the bigger Yadu to feel the smaller.
So, Jivo Jivo Sajivan. It's not like Jivo Jivo Sajivan exactly in this case. They are all great personalities, Krishna's family members. But this Leela is being enacted in this material world. So sometimes the Lord and his associates also seemingly follow the protocols of this material world to bewilder the people of this world, to convince them. But those who are intimately connected with the Lord, they will understand the divinity of the pastime. They will understand the deeper meaning of the pastime. Those who are not devotees, they are swayed away by the external happening. Gandhari's curse, they all left. Simple. Right. Externally, there is a show. But internally, there is a different reason. Why Yadus went away? Jiva Goswami says, Krishna thought that if I disappear before their disappearance, out of their intense separation from me, they will go crazy. They will trample the whole earth and they will create havoc here out of their intense feelings of loving separation from me. Let me first dispatch them and then I will go. This is one reason. Like that, there are so many reasons. When we come to 11th canto, first chapter, we will discuss. 10-15 reasons we will discuss. So there are internal reasons, there are external reasons. So externally, he made it appear that stronger Yadus killed weaker Yadus. That's how it happened. So, but Prabhupada gives a very wonderful perspective in the purport. He says that there is disparity and struggle for existence. Where? In the material world. In the material world, disparity and struggle for existence are there. But in the spiritual world, they are absent. In spiritual world, everyone does service. There is no survival of the fittest. There is no struggle for existence. Because everyone exists eternally, there is no struggle for existence. Here there is struggle for existence because your existence is dependent on your suppressing the weaker people and your protecting of yourself from the stronger people. Is it not? A bird exists by exploiting some insects, right? And whatever food it may get from here and there. Its existence is dependent on some lower living entities, is it not? And the same bird has to protect itself from upper living entities. A sparrow has to protect itself from, say, vulture. So there is a struggle for existence by exploiting weaker ones, by protecting oneself from stronger ones. Because that sparrow cannot exist in that sparrow body for the rest of eternity. There is an end. There is a beginning to the body. There is an end to that life. That's why there is struggle for existence. In the spiritual world, no such struggle is there. Everybody exists eternally. Right? There is no struggle for existence. There is no disparity. There is no comparison. I am superior. Everybody is doing some service. Somebody is doing some service and somebody is doing some other service. But everybody is doing service only, so there is no comparison. And everybody is completely satisfied with their particular relationship with Krishna and with the particular engagement that they do in their service to Krishna. Somebody may be just making garlands for Krishna eternally. That could be his seva, his or her seva in the spiritual world. And he is satisfied, or she is satisfied. And Devaki is satisfied to love Krishna as mother with Aishwarya mood. She doesn't change gear. Arey, why I can't become Ishwara? Hanumanji is satisfied. I will serve Ramachandra as a servant. He will never think, I should become Sridhama one day. I should become like Sudama one day. Or I should become like Arjuna one day. He doesn't think like that. I am servant of Ram. Yes. He is satisfied. So there is no competition there. Although sometimes as a part of pastime there is competition. That is only to inspire each other to render service Krishna, more intensify their service, but not to defeat another devotee or compete with another devotee, like the way competitive exams are conducted, or politicians come and compete with each other, running competition. Not to defeat others, but to inspire others. And in that competition also there is a lot of pleasure, transcendental spiritual pleasure. So that's the difference between material and spiritual world. There is no scarcity. It's not that Krishna Sakya Bhaktas, only 20 people can become Krishna Sakya Bhaktas. A kilo, no vacancy, gold. Just try in the next Kalpa. Or try in the next Chaturyuga. It's a bold. There could be millions of Sakya Bhaktas and Krishna can manifest in millions of forms to reciprocate with all these millions of Sakya Bhaktas. Trillions, billions, unlimited, innumerable. There is no scarcity for space also. He has taken this room, where will I stay? Krishna can create another planet for you and give. Right? You don't have to think our time is less or space is less, opportunities are less. No, there is unlimited opportunity, unlimited space, unlimited time, unlimited ways of expressing your genuine love and affection towards Krishna in the spiritual world, which is lacking in the material world. Right? Very beautiful purport.
27th verse. Deshakalartha yuktani. Hrutta popashavanani cha. Haranti smaratas chittam. Govindabhihitani me.
Govindabhihitani me.
Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space.
Now he is remembering Gita, Bhagavad Gita, spoken before the war. Now war is over. Now Krishna is also not there. It disappeared. Still, those instructions of Bhagavad Gita are relevant. Prabhupada writes about relevance of Bhagavad Gita in all circumstances of life. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted to again remember the great teachings of Gita. Just to teach all concerned that Bhagavad Gita can be considered, I already mentioned it. Next, the material activity of the living being is beginningless, but it can be rectified by transferal into spiritual activity. So Prabhupada writes a few points about Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter and proves by all reason and argument that the soul is indestructible in all circumstances. Okay, so this is Arjuna's lamentation or response to Yudhishthira Maharaj's questions. First, he was overwhelmed with remembrance. Is yakshana viyogena loko hya priya darshana. You memorize that verse? How many memorized? Everybody? Is yakshana viyogena. Exam? Okay, no problem. So, later you memorize. Is yakshana viyogena loko hya priya darshana. So, like that, he spoke few verses. Then he remembered all the favors done by Krishna. After that, he also remembered some nice moments that he spent with Krishna. Then he philosophically also reconciled, and he also narrated to Yudhishthira Maharaj that how Yadu's disappearance has happened. Okay. So now Suta Goswami is continuing. Evam chintayato jishnoham
Krishna
padasa roruham
Sauhardena
digadhenam Shanta siddhimalamatihi Evam chintayato jishnoham. So like this, Arjuna contemplated. He thought about Gita's instructions. Krishna padasa roruham. He remembered the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Sauhardena atigadhena. So in friendship, in atigada, with great intimacy. Shantasi dvimalamatihi. He pacified his mind and made it very peaceful. Right. So you can pacify your mind and you can become peaceful when you remember Krishna and Krishna's instructions. Sauhardena, atigadhena, with great intimacy and affection and love and devotion, if you remember Krishna, then your mind will be pacified.
Mm-hmm.
You can come out of your distressful condition, like that. So, but Arjuna is not just a devotee. Here, Shantashid Vimala Matihi word is mentioned. Vimala means no contamination. Freedom from contamination. So if one remembers Krishna, his mind will be purified. And Arjuna's mind is already pure. Why his mind has to be purified? So this is more applicable to us. So Arjuna is not just a devotee whose mind has to be purified. He is an incarnation, Nara. So no question of contamination only in him. For him to become Vimala. He is already Vimala. But because he is an Amsha of Indra, Chakravarti Bhas says,
He is an Amsha of Indra and he is containing certain contamination coming from Indra's side or a demigod's side. So that part is purified. That part is gone. That contamination is gone. Means he is no more identifying himself as a portion of Indra anymore. I mean, Amsha of Indra. That is not there. Now he is about to conclude his pastimes also, Arjuna. He is about to conclude his activities also and plan for going back to Godhead. So he just gave up his identity or his remembrance of being connected with Indra anymore. Right? See how acharyas give such kind of explanations. So the Lord is not different from his name, form, quality, pastimes, enterers, and specific actions. If you remember the Lord, it's as good as you are in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is like the sun, and the sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance. And the Lord's appearance within the mind of a devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee. But because it is connected with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect that pacifies the heart. So whether it is a sad and sorrowful emotion or a very exciting and jubilant emotion, if that emotion is connected with Krishna, it is nourishing to the soul. That's the message given in this purport. So Sita Ram, there is separation between them, but what they are experiencing is Vipralambha Rasa, spiritual rasa. So gopis and Krishna, these are all called transcendental tribulations of a devotee. They seem like tribulations, but they are transcendental. 29th. Vasudevangri anudhyana paribrahmita ramhasa bhaktya nirmathita sesha kashayathishan arjuna. So there is no trash on it. Right. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that disgrace that very existence of spiritual identity. What a statement. By such contamination, he faces many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires, but when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in his variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of the material desires become manifest. And the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. So, material desires are there in a conditioned soul. But a conditioned soul who is so absorbed and he is so attached and so immersed in those desires cannot identify that these desires will cause the ruination of myself. They will degrade me. He cannot even understand it because of ignorance. So, sadhaka stage is a bit better. And this pure materialistic people who cannot recognize that they have material desire, I know only desire. What is this material desire? You are calling my desire as material desire. I have desire. I have a desire to have sex. I have a desire to eat meat. I have a desire to watch a movie. I have a desire to drink wine. I have a desire to do something else. So, they don't see any fault in such desires. They just live with them and they are just happy doing all of that. They don't see there is any issue with it. Of course, it's a part of life. I must go to movie. when it is Friday or Saturday, I must go and watch a movie. What's wrong with it? Why are you questioning me? So, they don't even... Now, as Kali Yuga progresses, even drinking wine is also not considered bad. Even illicit sex is also not considered bad. So, people will become so desensitized to the fact that having material desires is wrong. But what is sadhana? Such people are happy. In their own illusory happiness, they are satisfied. But a sadhaka is one who is informed. What is a material desire? What is a soul degrading desire? Is informed. But still he has material desires. Because he is not completely purified yet, that sadhaka. He keeps getting those material desires, but he is also given this knowledge that this material desire is wrong. Then he feels guilty. He feels morose. There is a lot of struggle within. I have this desire, but I know this desire is bad. So he struggles to give up that desire. And that struggle is very good for himself. And once he comes to a stage where he can comfortably and conveniently give up that material desire by developing a taste in some spiritual activity, then he is getting purified. That is called purification. Right? You identify the material desire first and you make an honest attempt to give up that material desire by focusing on a spiritual activity, then that is purification. And before this stage comes, not even identifying the material desire only. After this sadhaka stage comes, not having a material desire. So, that beyond that sadhaka stage and before this sadhaka stage, people are happy. One is happy in ignorance, one is happy in bliss. This sadhaka stage is filled with so much of struggle. So, we are entering that zone now. We are those people who are struggling. Right? You understand what we are here for? Here for what? To struggle. Struggle with what? Struggle to give up material desires by focusing on a spiritual activity. The more we intensify our focus on a spiritual activity, the more we will be able to give up material desires. They are there. We need to replace them with this. Right? The more breaks and interruptions and pauses we have in this engagement in spiritual activity, the more we become vulnerable to material desires. Either Krishna or Maya are with us. If we just embrace Krishna, if we just hold on to Krishna's service, Krishna Katha, Krishna's names, Krishna's form, then our material desires will just go into the background. They will not go. They will be there in the background. They are looking for an opportunity. When will he release that? When will he slacken it so that we can enter? Like that. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in his variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all the material desires become manifest. The naked form. We will be able to understand that our lust is bad. Our envy is bad. Our anger is bad. Our pride is bad. We will be able to notice it. We will be able to understand it. At one stage, we are not understanding that they are bad only. Now also, so many subtle anarthas, we don't understand that they are bad. So many unwanted things are there still within us. Still we have not yet identified them as unwanted things. We think that, I can live with it. What's the problem? We think so. So at one point we should think that anything unfavorable for my absorption in Krishna, I should give it up. So we need to come to that stage. Right? Now we have identified some of those gross things, but we have not identified some subtle things. or the subtle desires which are there in the heart, which are still material desires, we have not identified them as material desires, and we are not making an honest attempt to kick them out also. It's getting heavy. This is a fact. I'm just sharing based on this statement only. And the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, they are inculcated in Gita, the true color of eternal association with the Lord becomes manifest. So, the process of bhakti is to identify those unwanted things in us and make an honest attempt to kick them out with the help of Krishna, with the help of Krishna's seva and Krishna's naam, Krishna's form, Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. A conscious attempt is needed. A constant attempt is needed. Constant and cautious attempt is needed. Whenever we slacken, then my eye is there. I am with you. Hi. Hello. I am here. I am your old friend. Don't ignore me, please. I am with you. How can you ignore me? Maybe it is here. My eye will convince us that sometimes, even if we notice that this is bad for us, Maya will convince you that it is good for you. Or she will say that yes, it is bad for you. And by trying to fulfill this desire, so many people have ruined their lives earlier. You will get all these remembrances also. You will get the knowledge also. But Maya will convince us that you can be an exception. By doing this nonsensical activity, so many people have ruined their spiritual lives. But I am my assurance to you, you can be an exception. And she says that to every sadhaka. Right? Every struggling sadhaka believes that so and so anartha that I have, I need not give it up. Because Maya will give me concession. Krishna will give me concession. I don't have to purify myself of this anartha. So let me continue with it. So, or I will think about it later. Like that. These are all Maya's traps. So, his Holiness Narayana Swami Maharaj very graphically explains this in some class few decades back. Like that. So, the naked forms of the material desires become manifest. At least, when they are manifest, we have some hope. At least, we are able to recognize that this is unwanted. We are eating something. For example, I am a non-spicy man. I can't handle spicy stuff. So, in a meal, they serve, say, pulao or some rice or some chapati. Chapati, sabji or dal. Inside that, there is mirchi. If I don't understand that mirchi will cause tears in me, hiccups in me, or some lot of problem in me, if I don't understand, I will just take and eat it. And then when I bite it, by God, Nayanam galadashru dharaya vadanam gadgada ruddhaya gira. So all these things will happen when I bite it. Then I need to recognize it. Aray, the spoon full of dal is put in my plate, but I should have that intelligence and common sense to pick up that mirchi and keep it aside before I put that dal in my mouth. If I don't pick up that mirchi and keep aside, and if I put that mirchi in my mouth, then Nayanam Galadashudha. Right? It's really too much. So we should understand what makes you cry and what makes you laugh. If I put a rasgulla, I'll be happy, I'll smile. If I put that mirchi, then too much. So when we become so cautious, then we will suspect things that are apparently innocent, but they are potential threats for our progress. Right? Now, once they served this utappa for me, utappa, they cut small pieces, small circles, that mirchika, hither, hither. Then I just ate it without knowing it. I mean, they put beans also. Right, I ate it, and then when I ate it, it again, I so a lot of hiccups came, and the face became red, and then I was shedding tears and then someone has to give me water and then they're pacified. Uske baad na, when I see beans also, my God, it could be mirchi, I will keep this. Right? There is this saying, right? Doodh se mooh jala to chaas bhi khuk khuk pe pita hai. Right? Mirchi se mooh jala to beans bhi dekh dekh ke khata hai. So I started suspecting beans also. Take a bean. ठीक है बीन्स ही होगा बट फिर भी मैं नहीं खाऊंगा लेट मी कीप इट एज़ इट इज ठीक मींस वंस इफ योर हैंड्स आर बर्नड विद माया यू बिकम सो एक्स्ट्रा कॉशियस दैट इवन इफ यू फाइंड स्मॉल सस्पिशन यू विल नॉट गो इनटू दैट साइड आल्सो राइट अरे इधर माया है सो लेट मी गो दिस साइड माया नहीं है पक्का देयर इज नो माया आई एम टेलिंग यू आई हैव गॉन दैट साइड बट स्टिल लेट मी गो दिस वे व्हाट्स द प्रॉब्लम लेट मी गो दिस वे Right. So we just change our path. We become cautious. Right? Because when the naked forms of material desires become manifest to us, then the intelligence of the living being is pacified by in its true color. So we should recognize a danger as danger. If we fail to recognize danger as danger and we embrace those danger, it's very difficult to come out of it. Right. So it's better to be on a safer side, even if there is no danger. But if you suspect some danger, better go on a different path, right? There may be no danger, no problem, but still there is some suspicion somewhere. Yeah, it is not mirchi, it is beans only. But still, if you are not sure completely, keep the beans aside. Read the. With the other thing. That's what I did that day. So like that. 30. Gītam Bhagavata Jnānam
Gītam Bhagavata Jnānam
Yatsat Sangrāma Murdhani
Yatsat Sangrāma Murdhani
Kāla Karma Tamo Ruddham
Kāla Karma Tamo Ruddham
Punar Adhyagamat Prabhu
Punar Adhyagamat Prabhu
Read.
Because of Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again he became Lord of his senses.
So again he became the Lord of his senses. Not that his senses are out of control till now. Basically, the principles applicable to us also are mentioned here. So how, by remembering Bhagavad Gita instructions, he came back to his thinking of his next duty. Now these feelings of separation are there. When it is feeling of separation towards devotees or the Supreme Lord, they are nourishing, they are spiritual, they are transcendental, no doubt about it. They are not degrading. Because the feelings of separation we discussed in the 13th chapter of first canto. In what context? Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling separation from Gandhari, Dhritarashtra and Vidura. So in that context, what did Narada Muni say? Narada Muni said that these feelings of separation are only due to illusory energy of the Lord. But Arjuna's feelings of separation from Krishna in this context are not due to the illusory energy or maya of the Lord. They're spiritual. They're purely spiritual. So, one feeling of separation could be because how will they maintain themselves without me? With the consciousness that I can maintain them. Another feeling of separation here, it is, I am just missing my friend, Krishna. Right? There is a difference. So, one may be overwhelmed with feelings of separation, even from the Lord and devotees also, but that should not obstruct one's seva. Because that feeling of separation is also ecstasy, it's trance, it's great spiritual feeling. But one should be very cautious enough not to avoid one's seva, not to neglect one's seva while being overwhelmed with these feelings. Right? Bharat Maharaj was meditating on the Supreme Lord and he was getting tears of ecstasy. Then he said, I should just keep aside this ecstasy. I should focus on my daily sadhana. Daruk was fanning Krishna. and he was getting tears of ecstasy. He said, Hari, these tears of ecstasy are disturbing me. Let me focus on finding Krishna, on my service. Like that. So that's mentioned. Now Arjuna was overwhelmed with feelings of separation, but immediately he thought, after expressing his feelings for a while, for a few minutes or whatever time it may take. We took 2 hours, but whatever time he might have taken. So after that, he is back in action. What's next? Next is enthroning Parikshit Maharaj as the emperor of Hastinapur. And next event is we have to plan for our retirement. So he focused on the next seva. So from here onwards, chapter will move fast. Storyline. So therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjuna did not drive him away from his transcendental position. This revival of consciousness is assured by the Lord in Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Okay, 31st verse. Vishoko Brahma Sampatyam Samchinna Dvaita Samsayaham Lena Prakriti Nairgunyad Alingatvad Asambhavaha.
Because of his pervading spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus, he was free from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was free from material form.
The most foolish part of our ignorance is to identify ourselves with material body. The most foolish part of our ignorance. Ignorance also has parts. The most foolish part is bodily identification. Like that. By assimilating the instructions of Gita, one is sure to be released from such bewilderment. Because real knowledge is knowledge that the Lord is everything, including oneself. He could realize that the Lord was still present before him by his instruction, by his form, by his pastimes, by his qualities, and everything else related to him. And there was no question of attainment of the association of the Lord by another change of body under the influence of time and space. Okay. Next. So Arjuna was planning for retirement. So next few verses are this retirement only. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samsthamya Dukulasya cha Svahpathaya Matim Chakre Nibhritatma Yudhishthiraha.
Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's return into his abode and upon understanding the aim of the Yadu dynasty's 30-line expression, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Gaur Cave.
So Maharaj Yudhishthir planned for retirement. They began to deliberate on the Lord's way of appearance and departure. The mission of Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on His will. Whenever He likes, He will come. Whenever He wants, He will go to some other place. It is His will. So anyone who factually understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord by His inconceivable energy becomes liberated from the loss of birth and death. What is this verse that Prabhupada is saying here? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvah. Many purports of Prabhupada are translations. He may quote the verse or not, but he is saying that statement of the verse only. So he just to Maharaj began considering, okay, let me plan for my retirement and go back to Godhead. Prathapyanushritya dhananjayoditam Nasham yadunam bhagavadgatim chatam Ekanta bhaktya bhagavatya dhokshaje Niveshitatmo pararama samsritehe.
Overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and the disciples of Lord Krishna, engaged in devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention and thus gained release from the course of material existence.
Mm. So when Pandavas planned for retirement, Kunti is also planning like that. Prabhupada writes here, the setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Out of our sight does not mean ending. Yesterday I explained this, right? So he is raised in some other hemisphere. I already explained this. Next. Devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back to Godhead after quitting this present material body. Bhakti is the passport. Without passport, you are not allowed to go to a different country. Similarly, without passport of bhakti, you are not allowed to go to the spiritual world. The abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people. But one cannot reach there by any material means like a Sputnik or space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving the present body, and one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing bhakti. Bhakti is the way to go to spiritual world. Okay. Next. Now at this point, the sages were aggrieved about Yadu's disappearance. Who is saying all this to whom? Sutta Goswami is saying to Naimisharanya sages. So just now, Arjuna narrated the disappearance of Yadus, because that has not yet come in Bhagavatam. They like first time Yadus' disappearance is discussed. And now Pandavas are also planning retirement. So Naimisharanya sages became a bit concerned or overwhelmed.
And thus they relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller.
So, kantakam kantakeneva dvayam chapishutuhu samam. Just like you pick up one thorn with another thorn. Similarly, the Supreme Lord also orchestrated this Maushara Leela or Kurukshetra war to reduce the burden of the earth. Okay. So the Lord and his eternal associates appeared on the earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. Lord appeared and devotees also appeared for that purpose. Some of the devotees. For the Lord, both the asuras and demigods are equal. But demigods are obedient, whereas asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. So, what is one thorn, what is another thorn? He is using the thorn of devotees to remove the demon thorns. Right? Both are thorns only. So, both are part and parcels of the Lord. Both are equal to the Lord. But still, the one thorn has to be removed by with the help of other thorn. So, see, one thorn which causes pin prick on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord. And the other thorn which takes out that disturbing element certainly gives service to the Lord. So, when someone is acting like an asura, he is like a pin prick, thorn prick in the Supreme Lord's leg. Lord Ramachandra, what is Ramanam? He is walking in the forests of Dandakaranya, barefoot. So his feet are so delicate that they cannot bear the touch of the lotus hands of Mother Sita also. Sita Devi touches his feet with her hand and his leg becomes red. Right? He is so delicate. Rajiva Lochanam. His eyes are like Rajiv, like lotus. What does a lotus do? Lotus closes when sun sets, right? Similarly, Lord Ram's eyes close
and sunsets. We cannot do late nights. As soon as sunsets, we'll sleep. And Vishwamitra came there. Vishwamitra came and said, send your sons. For what? To fight the demons. And demons are most active during the night, and my Lord Ramachandra sleeps during the night. As soon as night comes, as soon as day ends, he sleeps. What fighting he will do? I will come. I need to ask you, you send Ram. I cannot do that. Then Vishwamitra becomes angry. Then Vasishtha comes and pacifies. Vasishtha comes and pacifies whom? Dasharath, and convinces him to send Ram. So that's how Ram went. So point is, Ram is delicate like that, and Ram's, although he is so delicate like that, he was sent to Vanavas. And he goes barefoot. Actually, he went with slippers. Bharat Maharaj came and took their slippers. Bharat. So he was walking barefoot. You know that Bharat Milan, right? So just thinking that Ayodhya Vasis, they think that Lord Ram's lotus feet might be pierced by pebbles and stones and thorns in the forests. Just by the thought, Ayodhya Vasis faint. So devotees are so loving towards the Lord that they cannot even conceive of a pinprick, a thorn prick also in the Lord's foot. So devotees will remove the thorn and relieve the Lord from that pain. That is their service. So when a devotee is converting a materialistic person into devotee, or when a devotee is punishing a demoniac person to rectify his mentality and to end his demoniac activities, that is a service to the Supreme Lord. So the demon is also a thorn, that materialistic person is also a thorn, and devotee is also a thorn. Comparison is given. It's not a negative comparison in this context. Right? 35th verse. Yatha matsyadi rupani.
Yatha matsyadi rupani.
Dhatte jahiyad yatha nataha.
Dhatte jahiyad yatha nataha.
Bhubharaha kshipato yena.
Jahau
tachakale varam.
Relinquish the body, which he manifested to diminish the burden of the earth. Just like a magician, he relinquishes one body to accept different ones, like the fish incarnation and others.
So yatha matsyadi rupani dhatte. So he also manifests in various forms, right? To reduce what? Bhubhara hakshipato yena. Jahav tatcha kalyavaram. So he manifests in various forms to reduce the burden of the earth. The Lord is described as amrita or deathless. Because he has no material body, under the circumstances, the Lord's dying or quitting his body is like a jugglery of a magician. Actually, he is not creating money. He is not dead. Sometimes a physician will die. And you, people will come, doctors will come, see his nose also, he is dying. And after 1 hour, he will manifest again. It's all magic. Similarly, Krishna also. Apparently, he leaves a body and then he goes up. Some people say, Lord Ram committed suicide in Saryu River. Someone was arguing with me. So, I was joining ashram and my parents took me to an astrologer. One big Brahmana. He started counseling me. And in that conversation, he said, Lord Ram committed suicide in Saryu River. And Lord Krishna was killed by an arrow of a hunter. So then I had to tell him what I had to tell him. And he was telling about what is it? Pandavas are compared to 5 senses. Kauravas are 100 Kauravas are compared to something else. I don't remember. Kurukshetra is compared to body. I said, where is it written? Is it not there in Bhagavad Gita? I read it, I didn't find it. I asked my father, you read it, did you find it?
I didn't find it. That fellow didn't read Bhagavad Gita only. And he's just arguing with us. I said, you didn't read Bhagavad Gita? I read. Which Bhagavad Gita you read? Where did you read? So, Pakka, he didn't read. So after 1 hour of conversation, his head got so heated up. He said, my parents were there and I was there. I said, give me some break. I need to smoke cigarette now. I can't handle it. He picked him. He's a Brahman. Pure Brahman. So he smoked cigarette. And after a cigarette, then he continued the conversation. And at the end, he said, did you get some inspiration? Out of modesty, I didn't say anything. I was just silent. But he's a little elderly, but I didn't want to disrespect him so much. It's like that. People have that kind of things. So, jugglery of a musician, who will be impressed with the magic created by magicians? Childish people. Who will believe that the money that is coming out of his machine is true money? Only children or foolish people. Who will attempt to steal that machine? Are maybe Garunda. I will also cut white papers and put it in. See, some people will attempt to steal that magician's this also. Right? Similarly, when Krishna performs certain activities like this, like Maushalya Leela or what is that? Being pierced by Jara externally, apparently. So that will bewilder materialistic people. But devotees are not confused with these pastimes. They know the real import of it. If you want to know, wait for some time. When you come to 10th canto. So there is a long purport about this Jara. 11th canto. Next. The less intelligent fools are therefore unaware of my eternal form, which is never to be vanquished and is unborn, Krishna says. I'm reading from the purport only. The temporary manifestation of the Lord as a thunderbolt to the wrestlers appointed by Kamsa, or the glaring appearance of the Lord before Shishupala was relinquished by the Lord, but the Lord as a magician is eternally existent and is never vanquished in any circumstance. Now you see, when Krishna entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa, he was perceived in 10 different ways by 10 different people. You know that? Mallanam, Ashani, Nidanam, Naravaram. How many of you know that verse already? At least few people. First line you know. Okay. But anyways, you know the concept, right? 10 categories of people are seeing in different ways. All are not correct. When Sapitroha Sishuhu, when the parents of Krishna are seeing Krishna as their child, that is correct. When Vrishnis are seeing Krishna as a worshipable Lord, that is correct. Yes, Krishna is a worshipable Lord. But when Rizalars are seeing Krishna as thunderbolt, that is actually not correct. When Avidusham, Virat Avidusham, when unintelligent people are seeing Krishna as a portion of Virat Roop, that is also wrong. Because all these aspects of Krishna, the negative emotions aspects, when Kamsa is seeing Krishna as death personified, that's also not correct. Not correct in the sense that all these perceptions of all these demoniac people or less intelligent people, they are not a part of Krishna's Swarupa. It's a part of Krishna's Swarupa to be like a loving child of parents, to be like a lover of all the women, right? To be like a worshipable Lord of all the devotees. That's a part of Krishna Swarupa. But to cause death, to become like universal form, to become like a thunderbolt on the mountain like wrestlers. So that is not a part of his Swarupa. But still people perceive him like that. Right? So the conclusion is that the Lord has no material body and therefore he is never to be killed or changed by his transcendental body. 36th verse. Yada mukundo bhagavan imam mahim.
Yada mukundo bhagavan imam mahim.
Jahausa jahausa svatanva shravaniya satkatha.
Jahausa tanva shravaniya satkatha.
Tadahareva patibuddha chetasam.
Tadahareva patibuddha chetasam.
Abhadrahetu kalir anva vartau.
Abhadrahetu.
Vartatvam.
When the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left his earthly planet in his self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge.
For those who are endowed with poor fund of knowledge, Kali can cause inauspiciousness. But not for everyone. Krishna's, one of the names of Krishna is Ashubha Ashaya Dhuma Ketu. Ashubha Ashaya Dhuma Ketu. Dhuma Ketu means forest fire. Ashubha means inauspicious. Ashaya means aspirations. Krishna, like a forest fire, he annihilates all the inauspicious inclinations and desires that we have. If we take shelter of Krishna, no inauspiciousness can touch such a devotee. Because Krishna is Ashubhashaya Dhumaketu. The influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in God consciousness. But one can neutralize the effects of Kali by keeping oneself fully under the supreme care of the Lord. Right? Yudhishthirat prati sarpatam sarpanam buddha पुरेचराष्ट्रे च गृहे तथात्मनि विभाव्य लोभानृतजिह्मा हिंसनादि अधर्मचक्रं गुणमय्य गमनाय पर्यधात्.
By increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating, and violence throughout the capital state, home, and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home and be dressed accordingly.
So this Kali Yuga is not meant for such pure devotees. So when Kali Yuga is coming, he wanted to retire. Maharishtar being a great devotee of the Lord. So there was no necessity for his being afraid of Kali. But he preferred to retire from active household life and go back to Godhead. Because the Pandavas are eternal companions of the Lord, therefore they are not interested in this, to stay in this earthly planet. They are more interested in the company of the Lord. So besides that, being an ideal king, Maharaj Yudhishthira wanted to retire just to set an example for others. Three reasons are given. Why? Yudhishthira Maharaj planned to retire. Prabhupada says, it was not necessary for him to be afraid of Kali Yuga, although Kali Yuga may come, but still, it's fine. For example, when monsoon is coming, some people may catch malaria, some people may catch cold, some people's health may go into imbalance, right? But someone who is very healthy, he need not be afraid of monsoon. Another monsoon. Rain, barish ka anand lena se. Another barish. Some people will say like that. But some people are affected by the monsoon. They have to prepare a lot. Winter, they have to prepare a lot. Cold, I just really cannot handle cold in the early morning. Some people just come in the temple hall and they start sneezing. And then morning I was sitting with a shawl, without a shawl in the temple hall. I was catching cold. Right? Some of our devotees, they chant in the ashram with closed doors. They don't chant in the temple hall because there's a lot of cold. So like that, some people are affected by seasonal changes. Some people who are very healthy, they're not affected. Similarly, materialistic people are afraid of Kali Yuga. Afraid means they get affected in Kali Yuga. But pure devotees are not affected. But here, why still Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to retire? Because he is not interested only. He is more interested in Krishna's company and going back to Godhead. Okay. And also he wants to set an example. Now an able administrator, a junior is there. He is ready to take charge. Parikshit was ready to take charge of the kingdom. Why I should be sitting on the throne? So let me hand over the charge of this kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj and let me retire. So that's the nature of Rajarshis. They retire at the right time. They don't just hold on to their positions as kings till the fag end of their lives like the modern politicians do, as Prabhupada often comments. Swarat పౌత్రం వినయినం ఆత్మనః సుసమం గణైః తోయనీవ్యాహపతిం భూమేర్ అభ్యషించ గజాహ్వయే.
Improved his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all the land borders of the seas.
So I already mentioned this. So he enthroned Parikshit Maharaj. So the happiness of the citizens was due to the ample production of natural produce and grains. When there is a good king, there is good administration. Varna system is followed nicely, Varnashram system. And citizens are happy. మథురాయాం తథా వజ్రం సూరసేనపతిం తథః ప్రజాపత్యాం నిరూప్యేష్టిం అగ్నిన్ అపి ఈశ్వరః. దెన్ హి ఆల్సో ఎన్థ్రోన్డ్ వజ్ర ద సన్ ఆఫ్ అనిరుద్ధ యాజ్ ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ మథుర. And after Maharaj Yudhishthir performed a Prajapatya sacrifice and placed in himself the fire of quitting household life. Externally he is conducting a sacrifice and putting oblations in fire. But he actually placed fire within himself. What is that fire? To quit household life. To retire. Fire of retirement. So everyone's life must be so arranged that in the last stages of life, say at least the last 15-20 years, before death, he can absolutely be devoted to devotional service. No one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely going back to home, back to Godhead, by holding on to materialistic home, household life. Visrujya tatra tat sarvam dukula valayadikam నిర్మమో నిరహంకార సంచిన్నాశేష బంధన. సో విసృజ్య తత్ర తత్సర్వం, హీ హాస్ గివెన్ అప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. దుకూల వలయాదికం, దుకూల మీన్స్ బెల్ట్, వలయాదిక మీన్స్ బ్యాంగిల్, మీన్స్ బేసికలీ హీ హాస్ గివెన్ అప్ ఆల్ ది రాయల్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్ ఆల్సో. నిర్మమ, నిర్మమ మీన్స్ నథింగ్ ఈజ్ మైన్, దట్ కాన్సెప్షన్. నిరహంకార, there is no false ego, no attachment, no interest. Sanchinna asesha bandhanaha, he has perfectly cut off unlimited attachment. Asesha bandhanaha, all bandhans are taken out. So Prabhupada writes a simple point here. To become purified of material contamination is necessary qualification for becoming one with the associate of the Lord. So people are materialistic, people are materially impure. So from that stage, they have to come to the stage of being spiritually pure. From material impurity to spiritual purity. That path is devotional service. That bridge is devotional service. So that's the essence of this purport. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. So one has to relinquish such designations. Yudhishthira prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today because he was a great pious king and on the same level as Ramachandra. So it's already 7:37, 7:38. I think we'll stop. It's a 2 hours class, right? There are a few verses. I'll request Madhav.
10 hours. Huh?
If it is not late for you, you can... we can complete. Not much is there actually, only that quitting the body. Vacham jahava manasi tat prana itare chatam mrutya apanam satsargam satsargam tam panchavate yaju తం పంచత్వే యజో హవీత్.
Then they have amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind, and the mind into life, life into breathing. His total existence into the embodiment of the five elements, and his body into that. Then as pure self, he became free from the material conception of life.
First there is pure self, then there is development of subtle body, which is mind, intelligence, ego. Then there is development of gross body, which is earth, water, fire, ether and the senses. So the senses are withdrawn into mind. That means basically sensual functions, the physical functions, the external gross functions stopped. Then the subtle body also stopped. Right? Subtle body stopped in the sense that subtle body also is like withdrawn. That also is, one becomes oblivious to the functionings of the subtle body also. One will act as a pure spirit soul. That's what all these disappearances indicate, disappearances of pure devotees, withdrawal. So actually the activities of the mind cannot be stopped, for they are the reflection of the eternal soul. But the quality of the activities can be changed from matter to transcendental service of the Lord. So when the mind is, senses are withdrawn into mind, because mind keeps giving ideas and senses are functioning. Right now the reverse process will happen. The senses are completely withdrawn. Right, the mind is not giving instructions anymore, withdrawn into the mind. And now mind is still there. So mind will start thinking on a spiritual platform, not on the material platform. Like that. So it's basically reverse process of creation. So next, thus annihilating the gross body of five elements into the three qualitative modes, he merged them in one nescience and then absorbed that nescience in the self, Brahman, which is inexhaustible in all circumstances. The living entity is different from such material products. It is due to living entity's forgetfulness of eternal nature as eternal servitor of the Lord and his false conception of being the so-called Lord of the material nature, he is obliged to enter into the existence. So this basic philosophy, that part we have discussed several times, you know. Basically, there is a confusion, any confusion about the withdrawal of the body. Because a person functions through his senses, and behind the sensual activities there is subtle body. Behind the subtle body there is soul. Now, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is giving up this body and preparing himself to go back to Godhead, he stopped the activities of his senses. Right? The gross body is not functioning. Then subtle body also stops functioning. When subtle body stopping functioning means subtle body stops functioning on a material plane and starts functioning on a spiritual plane. Then it's like a soul is functioning, the pure soul is functioning. That's what is happening now. Yeah, all that is stopped. Even they are also stopped. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist, and one who acts like Brahman is a pure devotee. After that, Maharaj Yudhishthira dressed himself in torn clothing, gave up eating of all solid foods, see, just now he asked, voluntarily became dumb and let his hair loose. All this combined to make him look like an urchin or madman with no occupation. He did not depend on his brothers for anything. So far, he is giving orders to brothers. Okay, bring this, bring that. But now he is alone now. So at one point you have to fly your own plane. No more assistance. And just like a deaf man, he heard nothing. Next. This is a stage of complete independence from everything. And it is also called the purified stage of fearlessness, Prabhupada writes. Next. I am reading only translations. Fine. You recite verses later. He then started towards north, treading the path accepted by his forefathers and great men, to devote himself completely to the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he lived in that way wherever he went. Okay. No king or respectable gentleman would continue family life till the end, because that was considered suicidal and against the interest of the perfection of human life. This we discussed already, how Rajarshis planned for retirement at the right age. Then the younger brothers of Yudhishthira Maharaj observed that the age of Kali had already arrived throughout the world and that the citizens of the kingdom were already affected by irreligious practice. Therefore, they decided to follow in the footsteps of elder brother Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, they also decided to follow Yudhishthira. Next. Te sadhu krita sarvartham gnatavya gnatvatyantikamatmanaha manasa dharayamasur vaikuntha charanam bhujam.
They all had performed all the principles of religion, and as a result, rightly decided that the lotus feet of the Lord Shri Krishna are the supreme goal of all. Therefore, they meditated upon his feet without interruption.
Okay. Next. The Pandavas, not only in this life, but also in their previous lives, had always performed supreme pious work, and thus they are ever free from all reactions of impious work. They were meditating on the Supreme Lord now. Tadhyanodikritaya bhaktyam Vishuddha dhishanah parem Tasminnarayana padem Ekantamata yogatim Avapurdara vapamtem Asadbhir vishayatma bhi Vidhutakalmashasthanam Virjenatmanaivahi Virajenatmanaivahi
Then the pure consciousness due to constant devotional remembrance, they attain the spiritual state, which is ruled over by the Supreme Narayana. This is attained only by those who meditate upon the one Supreme Lord without deviation. This support of the Lord Krishna known as Goloka Vrindavan cannot be attained by persons who are absorbed in the material conception of life.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pandavas, being completely washed of all material contamination, attained it abode in their many sin bodies.
Okay. Next. Vidura. He went on a pilgrimage. So these people went back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Proposes Goloka Vrindavan. In purport also he repeats that. Then Vidura, while on pilgrimage, left his body at Prabhasa. Because he was absorbed in the thought of Lord Krishna, he was received by the denizens of Pitruloka planet, where he returned to his original post. He was Yamaraj, right? He became Yamaraj again. So the departure of Pandavas is mentioned. Departure of Vidura is also mentioned. Next. Draupadi. Draupadi cha tadagnaya patinam anapekshitam. Vasudevi Bhagavati Hyakanta Matir Apatam. So Draupadi also saw her husbands without caring for her were leaving home. See, throughout life protection is given, but not at the end of life. It's the time for yourself alone. Fly your own plane. So when the flight takes off, you have to fly your own plane. When the flight is and the airplane is on the runway, the airplane gets a lot of assistance from the crew members in the airport. Like there is a, whatever, fuel filling or some cleaning, whatever may have to happen, will happen. Only on the land. But when it takes off, then one has to, the pilot is in the control, like that. When flying an airplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Right? One pilot cannot take care of another plane. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. And if there is any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, one has to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by another. The help is, however, offered on the ground before flying in space. As sadhakas, we are dependent on our co-sadhakas. But at one point, unless we intensify our absorption in Krishna, we cannot fly our own plane. Yes, association will help, definitely. But we also need to intensify our own sadhana. So Draupadi saw her husband without caring for her. So she knew about Vasudeva Krishna. Both she and Subhadra became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husbands. Now, if they do not have that sufficient absorption in Krishna and their husbands left, what will they do? They will take birth again. Because they also developed love for Krishna. So, although we are in the association of devotees, we cannot take it for granted that association of devotees will take me back to Godhead. Yes, it will take you back to Godhead. If you utilize that association to intensify your absorption and devotional service to Krishna, just being in the association without doing nothing, that's not what is recommended. So, needs to intensify one's absorption in Krishna. Just being there, everything will happen. You just go enter IIT. Sab ho jayega kya? After entering IIT also, you have to study. Right? Like that. You get after IIT, you get placement. You get job in Infosys. Done? After getting job in Infosys, you'll be taken care, life settled. You have to work every day. 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, whatever it may be. You have to work every day. Like, material life, at every point, people get convinced that exam khatam ho gaya, pass. Mukti, mukti. People are constantly looking for that feeling or kick of mukti. Kick means not the punch wala. The intoxication of mukti. As soon as exams are over, the students will feel relieved, liberation. How then? No, you have to enter the next standard and again start from the first lesson. Or 10th standard over. 10th standard over first. Beta pass ho gaya, 10th standard. No, he has to begin plus 1, plus 2. Oh, plus 1, plus 2. Another exhausting experience. Oh, he cleared 12th standard. No, he has entered BTEC. He got a very good seat in BTEC. No, not sufficient. Again, he has to study in BTEC. Otherwise, he'll be checked out of college. Then MTEC, whatever, job, like that. Marriage, happy ho gaya. Something goes. It will begin a new tenure of right, new responsibilities. So, every ending is also beginning of another adventure. Right? So, just by being in the association, you attend association, fine, everything is solved. No, begin intensifying focus on Krishna, like that. Ashram join, okay, so back to the ticket guarantee. No, after joining ashram, again it will, the new challenge will begin. Right? Initiation, okay, boss. Hey, initiation means you have to start. Start initiation of the process. Somewhere saffron will get boss. This is what I'm aspiring for. Kapda bhi itna dhone ki zarurat nahi. Right. Then some people will ask for Brahman nahi mila, Brahman nahi, Brahman nahi mila. Ek Brahman bhi mil gaya. Aage kya? Sanyasi bas, sanyasi bache. So like that, there is always a, people look forward for some milestone in life. And as soon as they reach that milestone, they think that it's the end of their struggle. No, it's the beginning of a new struggle. So nowhere we can take things for granted. We have to take the individual responsibility to intensify our connection with Krishna. So Draupadi and Subhadra took it. Because at the end, their husbands could not help them. So this subject of departure of the sons of Pandu for the ultimate goal of life, back to Godhead, is fully auspicious and is perfectly pure. Therefore, anyone who hears this narration with devotional faith certainly gains the devotional service of the Lord, the highest perfection of life. This is Falashruti. You all heard? With devotion. Then we'll get devotional service of the Lord. Whatever devotion we have manifested in hearing, that was devotion we get. Okay, thank you all very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai.